Check it. I see it. Okay.
You have all right, now go arrived ahead, go at ahead. Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey
Delatorre
and your boy Jay Scott 25. What it do, y'all boys? Sad we missed my man.
25, bro. I almost said Dan. Sure. Just like the cadence of it. I almost called myself Dan, not Dan.
Right. Yeah, I'm just so used to the Dan right after that, though, for sure. Yeah.
Dan, I'd like to put a formal complaint into HR. Once Dan said 3 for 3, or once Dan said 3 things were happening, once those 3 things happened, he's got to come back stateside. You only get to leave the country to escape Twitter hate when you're wrong. Dan wasn't wrong. So now he's extending the trip on the company dime.
Got we got to talk to HR about that.
Yep.
Excuse my camera. Working on my camera over here, man. I don't know what's I don't have my webcam. Left in my wife's car. I've been traveling, getting back into town myself. So I wasn't prepared. Webcam's in the wife's car. So I don't know what's up with my computer webcam, but we're going to figure it out all out on the fly. How was the Orange and Blue debut, fellas?
Want me to take off? Okay.
So you take off. You had a big weekend. You were in town. I'm always here. You were in town.
Right. For me, man, it was a blast. It was my first time going to Johnny's former player tailgate. It was a good experience. Honestly, not a lot of guys that RSVP'd. I think we had over like 150 guys RSVP, which is like more than normal for what he said, and not too many showed up. But I still had a good time. You know, I got to connect with a lot of the players on the team and see them the night before at Spurrier's. It was a good event that they had going on there. And overall, just a great experience, man. I got to hang with some old teammates who came. I think Adam Schuler came through, Nick Buchanan, Tyreek Cleveland. So a lot of dudes from like my year.
I saw David Sharp walking through the concourse.
Yeah, you're right. Big Sharp was with me. Yeah, I pulled me. Big Sharp and his dad came through. He actually got a little cousin that plays DN at Reigns, trying to get him out there to the Gator, the Die Hard Gator. So we'll see what that goes.
Tell me if I'm wrong. This was new for me with David. Bottoms, all gold now. I was looking at him like, okay. Yeah, took you out of Duval, and that wasn't a college thing.
He got it going on. Duval,
and now he got some golds.
He got it going on, man. That's one thing about Sharp. You always having it. Our boy, he's still going through it, as in, like, he's still in the process of, you know, finding a new home. He was with a bunch of teams last year. Got signed to the Chargers, I believe, and then finished off with Pittsburgh. And then so I think he's waiting for one of those future deals where he can get to a little training camp and go prove himself. But he's been fighting shit 8 years, 9 years strong now. So you got to tip your hat off to that, man. Anybody get over that threshold of 3 to 4 or 5 years on, they're doing something right. So overall, it was a great experience, man. I liked it. I liked the offense. And too impressed with the defense. I think when you're dealing with a spring game, that's kind of what you got to deal with, right? I mean, somebody's going to do good. So it ended up being the offensive side of the ball. And obviously, it made defense look really bad. But to me, just watching the game, I felt like it was more of like coverage bust type deal, or just lack of effort maybe on the DB. Like, because I'm like, there's no way he's just straight up running by you like that. And yeah, so defensively, I wasn't too impressed, but offensively, I love what I saw. I was obviously rooting for number 9 to have a great day, and he did. And it was obviously all over the internet as well. So I love that about it. And We didn't do too much with 13. I love that as well. We know what we got out of him. Let's just let all the other guys kind of rock out and do their thing. So overall, it's a great experience, man. I got to meet Coach Summerall at the tailgate. I could see the fire in his eyes, man. He seems like a dude that's ready to go get it. So I was impressed with that as well.
Oh, he did stop by Johnny's tailgate.
Yeah, he did. He spoke for like 5 minutes, maybe 5 to 7 minutes, and like just gave his little nice message and, you know, just got everybody kind of fired up. And after he was done with his speech, I kind of just caught him on his way out, him and Mike P, and he just chatted with me for a little bit. So I like that.
I'm trying to pull up the stats. Yeah, we had Flood Victorious. We had our tailgate right next to y'all. That's it. The spring game is always a crazy tailgate for us because you have to come and get your wristbands at the tailgate to be able to go down in the field afterwards and get your autograph. So a ton of people, everyone was like super understanding of like the line, like, hey, we've got, like,
yeah, the line was so long. I was
we've got, yeah, yeah. I think we had more than 2,000 people right around that number, like come through, they get down in the field. So the guys enjoyed it. Coach Summerall did his media thing and he came out and he signed. We had our bourbon there.
Hey, that thing got me where I needed to be. I appreciate you for that one. Cause I was over there on the, what do they call, high noons and something else. Those just weren't cutting the trick, you know?
Jordan was trying to be a good boy. Yeah. Trying to be a good boy. I grabbed his arm. I twisted it. A couple of our members who were at the tent, they started talking about it. And Jordan's like, you know what? Sold.
Right. You got to pull ball too hard for some good bourbon. Now that's a fact.
Yeah, so we had a good tailgate, good day overall. Then we had a little donor event after over at Scott Strickland's house with most of the coaching staff, some donors. That was a good time. So yeah, successful weekend. I think the defense, from what I'm talking to, from talking to some of the coaches, defense not allowed to blitz, Jordan. No blitz packages.
That gives me a totally different perspective on the game now, I feel like.
Yeah. Listen, I think, you know, some of it too. It was interesting the way they had the scoring. I know fans want split the team up. Like Billy Napier, they split the whole organization up, and you had like recruiting girls were on the orange team and recruiting girls were on the blue team, and you split up trainers and everyone. And fans want that, but like the more I've covered the team now since 2013, that's why I've wanted. And I've come to realize it's just the 15th practice. And true. I mean, Will Muschamp didn't even want to do a spring game. He's like, this is just a practice. And like, I can't even like run the practice the way I want to, because we have to do a game kind of thing. But it is, you know, your introduction to the team. And even more so this year, it's the introduction because there is no spring portal. Ooh, he's back. Hey, figured out his camera. Even more so this year, it is the introduction to your team. Like, there might be a random grad transfer or something like that, but like, there's no spring portal. Like, this is the team you're going to have.
Unless you're about to go grab some Ivy League or something like that.
And to be honest, like, the offensive line is what it is, and you had some injuries happen. I remember one year with McElwain, we had like 7-on-7 because they didn't have enough offensive linemen to have two teams. So you're also trying to, you know, go healthy into an offseason program. But it was good. It was good for us at Florida Victorious. We had a great time at the tailgate, got to hang out with Jordan. Wrap up spring practice. Baseball's doing great. All it took was baseball. I don't understand them. They go up to Georgia, who led the nation in home runs, number 4 in the country, led the nation in home runs per game. Georgia hits 0 home runs this weekend,
right?
Averaging nearly 3 a game, and they hit 0 in 3 games combined. Watch Florida, like, baseball will lose to Bethune-Cookman tomorrow. No shade to Bethune. If you try to wrap your mind around this baseball team, they will surprise you. So
I'm sure everybody was slamming Georgia money line for that game. Like, oh, Florida stinks. It's going to be an easy one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Can't trust the money line.
Solid 3-1 week.
But I do
a lot think of people. Go ahead.
I'm about to say, I do think that coach, it was a well, like, it was well planned out and everything went real smooth as far as the spring game goes. Like, you can tell people were on and off the field, special teams. It was just like the punter, snapper, returner, in and out.
Counting? Were you counting? Yeah. Were you counting to 11?
Nah. But I was just feeling like, I felt like it wasn't no, like, hey, get out there on the field and get out there. Like, you know how it is. People can.
The organization.
Yeah, you can lose sight of what's going on. You know, you may have had a few plays. You thinking you done. You on the sideline yapping about what you're going to do later. You're supposed to be in the game. Like, I felt like everybody was kind of locked in. Even when I went down on the sideline towards, like, the second half of the game, but like, all the players were still, like, locked in to it. Like, if you knew you was about to get in, it's supposed to be in, you're looking alert at the game. You're not looking at the stands. You're not buddy-buddy talking on the sideline. Like, but, like, everybody was doing a good job of locking in and making sure everything was going smoothly.
Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit, and like Billy was like, you couldn't tell if they won or lost by 30 points. Like, he was just always just here. Summerall's always up here. And I think that kind of trickles down. But yeah, you got a chance to see him in person. Everyone that has gotten a chance to like meet him in person, like whenever you see him on the same intensity he has, like, he's just, I don't know that he knows how to be anybody else other than him. Again, I'll tell him to his face, it doesn't matter until Friday. They'll love you until you start, or until the fall. They'll love you until you start losing games. But he's done everything right, I think, from December until April. And a lot of people asking where Corey was. A lot of people.
I had a lot of people. Nick, love
the show. Where's Corey? Where's Dan? I said, that's Dan is waiting for you in a bathroom in Mexico.
Right? Straight up.
Probably a bathroom in Mexico. Yeah, the bathroom via RSVPs on lock out there. I wanted to be there, bro, but you know that weekend is always tough for me. Spring always falls on my wife's birthday. Sometimes in my younger days, I was able to get away with it, but these days, she don't be trying to hear it. So combined it with a little bit of work and a little bit of fun out in Houston. Oh, we had a good time, man. Went to the tequila and taco festival, but it wasn't no tequila and tacos out there, so it was a little good festival. It was false advertising. I was expecting like Mexico vibes, bro. You tell me tequila and tacos. Yeah, man, it was like fair food out there, like funnel cakes.
Yeah, that's
burgers,
that's got class action
ribs.
Lawsuit written all over it.
Yeah. But nonetheless, man, I was watching, you know, vicariously and living through the phone a little bit, watching everybody's some people were screaming it out there, you know. Was able to catch a little bit of that before they got shut down. And then I was watching the highlights, bro. I got a little feel of it, but the YouTube.
Did the stream
clip,
get shut down?
The one I was watching on Twitter, I don't know if it got shut down on YouTube or anything like that, but I was kind of watching one on Twitter that kind of dissolved early on. It didn't even really get going, to be real, too. Like after the warm ups, it got shut down. May have lived longer on YouTube. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and we'll pop up. We have this is from Dylan Olive. We'll pop it up more when Zach is there, so you guys can watch it, and we'll talk through this. But Dylan did a good job of filming it from the press box. This is our view in the press box.
Yeah, no, he did a great job. What kind of phone is that? That's gotta be that pro.
that's that new guy right there.
Yeah, next pro, where I could tell that thing is sharp.
But yeah, it like, I obviously have a different job now, but I think Jordan and Zach can probably speak to it. So I'm not negative. Nick is gone. But like, I feel like you saw what I've been saying about the quarterbacks. Like, hey, they're like it's like the coaches want the quarterback to make the decision for them. Not that they're afraid of making a decision, but it's just like, hey, someone go win the job. Like, we are literally giving you both the exact same amount of reps. Go win the job, make the decision for us. And like, you're just not, neither Tramiel nor Philo have said, yeah, that's my job and taking it. And I think if we pull the stats up, which I was looking to do, I think Tramiel has a better day in the spring game. But then I thought Philo had a better second scrimmage. Tramiel had a better first scrimmage. And then you're still outside of the interceptions, one of which just went through VB's hands. Outside of the interceptions, kind of the same.
That was a tough throw, now, Nick.
Yeah.
No. We have a great picture of it, and I forgot that was the one that went through his hands. And I showed it to VB after the game. Our photographer was like sending me pictures live, And I go, VB, I got this great picture of you. He goes, I think that's the one that went through my hands. So I was like, oh, my bad.
Right.
Can't tell in the picture, though. Can't
that was
tell
a bad ball, though. I mean, straight up.
It's high. Man. He went up for
it. Yeah, it was so high.
It's high, late, across the middle, and behind him.
Yeah, that's another thing ball. I was going to say. I wouldn't really fully blame it on him. Anything that touch your hands as a receiver should come down with it, but you can give him a little bit more friendlier ball than that. But honestly, I agree with you, Nick. I think even though Tramiel had a better day, I'm not watching that game and being totally like, okay, that's my QB1 and I'm done. Dudes have bad days. You know, Nick mentioned there's no blitzing and all that stuff like that. Like, what is it really going to look like when the bullets are really flying, right? Because to be honest, as a quarterback, or even as any football player, as an offensive side of the ball, if I know the defense not doing something, I'm a ball. That's like telling me as a running back, they ain't going to hit you when you run through the hole. Just run through the hole. I'm going to blast through that thing and like Todd Gurley or something. Come on. Yeah. So I'm sure just the pressure of Tramiel, obviously Tramiel's probably a little bit more comfortable in the swamp, right? He's played in the big games before. He was there last year. He had his opportunity versus Aaron. This is his first time kind of stepping in the swamp, kind of getting accepted by the entire fan base. You know, he probably has a little bit of jitters coming out there, which is totally understandable. Even though it's a spring game, he's still a kid at the end of the day. He was playing ACC football, not saying that, no disrespect to that, but it's just
no, all disrespect intended. ACC, all disrespect intended.
So, I feel like you got to kind of still carry this quarterback competition kind of into the fall, which seems sad to say, but I would just keep the pressure on just to see, because that wasn't a clear cut. That was outright better. He had an outright better game, you could say that, but at the same time, just looking at the circumstances of what it was, like, I want to see when the bullets are really flying and see what everybody's really going to do. Are you going to still be able to deliver those balls and make those on-time throws? Or are you going to get sacked one time and now you second-guessing yourself, punt faking, rattled back there? You know, how does that work? So, for me, I definitely want to see this just get carried in the fall, and hopefully we can have a decision by game one.
I mean, this is it's playing out. I like both of y'all's takes. I'm glad that we all on the same page. Because some people are, like, creating narratives, like somebody's leading or, you know, it's starting to take shape. I don't see it taking shape. I would like to see, you know, like you guys said, it go into the first one and two games, because I don't think it's going to get decided into fall camp. I think these guys both are scared to make mistakes. It sounded like that through camp, even if you didn't wasn't watching the practices. It sounded like a lot of checkdowns, a lot of quarterback keeping it safe. It was good to see Tramiel take some deep shots in the spring game, because it sounded like all spring both guys were hitting intermediate throws and kind of moving the sticks along, which is good. But so it was good to see some explosives. Anytime the Florida Gators have been good, we've been an explosive offense. So it's good to see Tramiel get explosive. There is a lot of just pre-snaps that we'll talk about, like the game. I mean, we got some clips and stuff that we can play. We'll talk about the nuances of the plays that's being called for each guy and how it's kind of playing out. But overall, I think you got an even match here, you know, if you want to call it even. I think the turnovers is a metric that I'm paying a lot of attention to, because we think these guys are game managers and not game breakers, right? Managing the game, a big part of managing the game is going to be turnovers, sacks. So that type of stuff, or, you know, turning over the ball and getting sacks when there isn't live bullets flying is just another flag, another thing that I'm watching. But I'm impressed with where Tramiel's at. With it not being any gap, he's fairly new in this system. I thought he performed well with 3 weeks of offense, you know, under his belt. I thought he did pretty good considering the circumstances. So, you know, I just think it's a legit battle that they got to, you know, give them maybe some different scenarios to kind of figure it out. If they want to figure it out before the first game, then they're going to have to create that environment. But for right now, it's looking fairly even in a tough call.
Yeah, and we're going to break it down a little bit more here as Zach Albaverde in the green room waiting. Wish we could pump some Zachariah to intro him, but instead we will hit him with a ad read instead of the Zachariah. Go ahead, Corey.
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brun Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg is the best of the best in the business, and I'm quite sure he can save you some money. Visit him at bruninsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Life insurance, auto insurance, boat insurance, motorcycle, anything with wheels, including embroidery equipment.
Mm-hmm. Wagons.
That thing costs 15 racks.
Nah, oh, my bad. Yeah, you need to insure something that costs 15 racks, my brother.
I'm trying to tell you.
I understand.
Bro, he thought you had like a Betty Crocker knitting.
Yeah, I thought he had like a little cricket or something, man. Like,
that thing a machine.
Shout out to that, bro. So anything you need insured, my man Greg, I promise you can save you some money. So visit him at bruninsurance.com or again, like I said, 954-589-2204.
Greg, what it do, baby? We're also brought to you by Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. These guys used to represent the insurance companies, certainly not Greg, because Greg's got you covered. But now they have your back with any issues with property damage, wind or hail damage. These are your guys. Visit them at DykusBurkeLaw.com. And with that, bring in my former coworker, good friend, Zach Albaverde.
Zach, what up?
Cool it, man. What's up?
Wrong one.
You just kicked my dog out the spot. Hour
here, man. Kicked everyone out the spot.
We only lasted a second.
Listen, first time. Ooh, gotta talk to Chloe about that. First time running the show up here. First time running the show. Zach, welcome in. As a lot of people know, spring game wasn't televised. We've got some, our buddy Dylan Olive put something up on YouTube. So we got some clips and stuff before
put the people.
Clips on YouTube too now.
Okay.
Well, on YouTube.
Go run the numbers up. Run the numbers up.
I'm about to run my dog views up real quick.
I'm about to snitch on everybody, man. I'm about to drop it down on all you boys.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you guys have been able to see throughout the spring. You also got a chance to watch a scrimmage. And then what were your expectations heading into Saturday? And anything you didn't expect, something good, something bad, just what were your overall thoughts, high-level thoughts of Saturday?
I'll start on defense. You know, I thought for the most part they were solid except for like the last 2 minutes of the first half. D-line looked good. Linebackers are elite. A lot of options in the secondary. A lot of competition at that corner spot. Probably one of the biggest surprises or notable things that we saw was Jeremiah McLeod got the start at defensive tackle, which I thought was a development. You know, there have been a lot of talk about Joseph Mbachu playing nose tackle, and I know DJ Kalu's been playing nose tackle too, but it was Bet inside there for the most part playing nose, which he did last year too. And then you had Jeremiah McLeod at defensive tackle. So that's interesting just seeing how that defensive line is fitting together. Offensive line still a work in progress. They're rolling a lot of guys in there and they don't know who their left tackle is. They don't know who their right tackle is and they don't know who their right guard is. So that's I don't want to necessarily say it's problematic because I think they've got guys there that can do it, but that certainly isn't helping the quarterbacks out. Every time they go out there, there's like a different offensive line combination. So not a lot of run blocking or not enough of it on Saturday. Receiver room is stacked. Running back room is legit. We saw some separation at tight end. Amir Jackson and Luke Harper are the top two guys for sure. And that's according to Buster Faulkner. And then quarterback, man, is still a competition. Like, I think from the first scrimmage, I was told that it was neck and neck. And then the second scrimmage, Philo probably had a slightly better day, not by much. And then in the spring game, Jones had the better day and a little bit more than, I think, Philo in the second scrimmage. So, like, it's a legit competition. I put out my projected depth chart today coming out of spring, and I listed
an or.
Yeah, I did the or. I only got two ors on the depth chart. That and right guard, because I think right guard could be Lovett or TJ Shanahan.
Yeah.
But Tremel certainly made his case on Saturday. You know, people love the long ball. So he gave him that.
Chicks love it.
So I think things that we can on the offensive line, I really think other than Najee Harris, and I think Harrison Moore has taken over that starting center spot ahead of Jason Zanamella. I think other than those two spots, it's up in the air. And Egan Boyer has gotten it. Three guys have really gotten a chance at left tackle with Egan Boyer, Emeka Emeka.
Ugorji.
Ugorji and Caden Jones. I really don't think Caden Jones has shown enough and might have even just been kicked over to the right side.
Agreed. Because they were working at him at left tackle for most of the spring.
And the thought process there was, all right, whoever it's going to be Emeka or Caden, and whoever doesn't win the left tackle job, they'll kick him to right. And that one of those two is going to be your starting five, or both of them are going to be in your starting five. And now I don't know that Caden Jones will be in the starting five. If it is, it'll be at right tackle. But you also have Egan Boyer who can play right tackle. So, yeah, we did not come out of spring with a starting five offensive lineman. I think you've got two and you're still looking for three. I feel like
DJ Shanahan should be one of them. Like, I know Bryce Lovett started the spring game. John Summerall said that TJ Shanahan was the most physical offensive lineman in the room. And if that's true, how do you not start him? In my opinion. But he's coming over from.
You gotta have that. You gotta know assignments, right?
Like, yeah, I was about to say probably if that's the case, probably upstairs ain't right. He not looking. He don't got his
But they're repping him at center. So they feel good about him enough to put him at center.
He's probably mean as hell, but he's blocking the wrong guys.
I'm not crazy about seeing Bryce Lovett potentially starting. I've seen that experiment, although I am encouraged that he's at guard, but they're still playing him at tackle too.
What's up with Kearney? I'm not hearing a whole lot about Kearney.
He's hurt.
He got hurt. He got hurt. Missed like the last 2 weeks. But Shanahan really started probably staying after practice, like practice six and on, to start working on snapping the ball. I don't think he's ever been a center.
I saw that in the spring game. I was like, I know he was doing
The first scrimmage had some technical snapping issues. And I think after that, because right now Mark Faircloth, who was a tackle last year, is the third string center. And I think they're looking to build some depth there.
I've never seen a guy go from offensive tackle to center.
That's crazy.
You only have two. You really only have two. You only have two centers, scholarship centers on the roster.
Najee Harris can do it.
You need to. If you're tall enough to play tackle, you're probably not playing center, man. You're probably not, like, body composition-wise suited to be a center, like, normally.
Wow, fat shaming. Okay.
A little bit. That brings
shaming back. You know what we call that? We call that Rob Sale shaming.
Yes, I always got time to throw Rob Sale on the bus.
Oh man, but I do agree with you, Corey. I do think it's a certain type of build for centers, and honestly think centers end up just being guys that are maybe too small to play tackle and maybe not agile enough to play guard, and they just get thrown in there because they got some brains and can still block. Because not to say center's the easiest position, but it almost is, because they're getting help both sides, and like, you got to know how to command the offense, but at the same time, you always going to have some sort of help with you. Unless you're in a shitty situation where you're dealing with just a nose that's just going to do it to you all game. Most people don't really run that front. Most people got to shade it off to where he's kind of helping with the guard. So,
unless you're just like a pouncy that could snap and pull, right?
Yeah.
We wish, right?
Talk dirty to me. Snap and pull. But yeah, like you also get a bunch of responsibilities of like mic checks and mic calls. And, that's something that, Jake Slaughter did a lot of, I think, especially with DJ when he was first year going into a starter, kind of still leaving that on. That's at the next level. You might get more of a quarterback doing that, especially if you have a guy who's a veteran might be doing that for you. But at the college level, you're definitely getting, the centers are probably unless you have like a senior or a really experienced quarterback. That's something that, hey, by the way, thanks for playing right guard for the last month and a half, but we need you to go at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Atlanta. You're going to be playing center. I need you to figure out what George is doing on defense and keep us healthy.
Right.
Whole different ball game.
I do think a little bit like what's going on at O-line. I guess I'm maybe just trying to see the better picture in it, and that like we're getting a bunch of guys ready. So if and when it is any injuries that comes along the way this season, these know the guys that are on the bench are somewhat prepared. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They've been in the fire before. They've been running with the ones before. They're familiar with the terminology. Literally, most guys are, if they twos and threes, they not to say they checked out, but they're not as honed in as the 1-0 line. When the coach is in the meeting room, you know he's talking to his five. And maybe what's the 1 swing lineman there? Somebody else probably sleeping there.
He might be. He's talking. He would like to be talking to 8.
I'm just being honest, but
you'd really like to be talking to 8.
They 6 are awake.
The other, they were also repping Carr and Desmond Green as the backup guards. Like at one point, they were both in the game at the same time. So I was good to see that they're already getting some run.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hold on real quick. Hopefully they keep
running it up and getting these guys some more.
Westfall is injured, right?
He's had multiple surgeries on wrist, thumb. Not to put him on blast. I did beat him in a thumb wrestling match pretty shortly after he got out of a cast. He keeps trying to get me back, but I'm like, no, buddy.
What's wrong with you, bro?
What do you mean? I'm 1-0. I'm 1-0 thumb wrestling Fletcher Westfall. Did he have a pin in his thumb when we did it? Maybe. I don't know.
Exactly.
You got to take any advantage you can get.
The thing with Westfall, with the hand, wrist, those injuries, it just slows down your development from just a lifting standpoint, which is a concern for, like, offensive linemen. He came in with a lot of promise, but those type of injuries just slows down strength and conditioning.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to can count on him this year.
He's supposed to be projected to be 100% healthy, like when fall camp starts in like July, early August, whenever that
is. He'll be rusty though, man.
But it's also like he wasn't able to practice all fall. He wasn't able to practice all spring. So you got a lot of catching up to do. Super smart kid. We'll know what to do. But like Corey said, like it's a lot of time out of the weight room. It's a lot of time out of real football practice.
Yeah, I was just about to say that practice is gonna be so fast, and bro, he ain't gonna know what he's gonna put his hands up. He'll think he's working with Paul.
Yeah, he you're not striking Paul the way you'd be. You're not striking Paul the way you're striking
KJ Ford.
Come on.
How about KJ Ford? The backup like Jack. It. He beat beat Kofi. He's ahead of Kofi right now. Yeah. They were putting Ford out there on the first series of the game.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I said it on here a little while ago, right when Silk, I think that's when Silk confirmed the Himothy watch. As he was going through with a pencil and doing the Himothy list. And then I said something like, hey, KJ Ford coaches told me, like, we have to get him ready because he's going to play. And he went, all right, let's Sharpie instead of the pencil.
Yeah, lock him in.
He looked good.
Let's stay on that offensive side of the ball, though, Zach. Receiver room. I saw a picture of the room after, and, like, we're seeing the receivers, and I think they looked good in the spring game. We didn't even get to see 6. Still haven't seen Dallas Wilson, who gets thrown into that mix. The receiver room, the running back room, if you have to pick one, which one do you think is the best room on offense?
Receiver. I mean, Jaden Baugh's, you know, maybe the most talented player out of the two groups, but, man, Eric Singleton and VB3 are right there. Like, I mean, Eric Singleton is legit. He's been that way all spring, like consistently getting open. Quarterback's best friend, and like you said, you don't even have Wilson, which honestly was probably in some ways a blessing in disguise because it allowed Micah Mays to have the spring.
Yeah, I was about to say, can we talk about Fives coming out party? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, the 5-6-1 fan club over here.
Just a little Benjamin out there doing a thing.
Yeah, that's real pedigree right there, bro. I told y'all that's his pops and his uncle were real deal ball players, man. You know, circumstances, things happen, but he from a line of real deal ballers. Hoopers and football players track all that. He from good pedigree for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's clearly a weapon for them. And, like, we were hearing stuff about him all spring. So he obviously lived up to it. You got Bailey Stockton in the slot, the exciting whites, baby. I mean, they can count on him. Like
Chardonnay.
Hey. And then you got TJ Abrams. You got the young receivers, too. Gross. Marquez Daniel, Justin Williams. Like, they're loaded at wideout. And if they stay healthy, they're going to have a lot of options for whoever's throwing that ball.
Are we expecting the offense to be quick triggered? And also, that's like a two-part question. Are we expecting the offense to be quick triggered because of the offensive line? And then do we think that there's an advantage for one of the quarterbacks with possible legs? Do we need, you know, a quarterback to have pocket presence, maybe lead the pocket sometimes and escaping because of the offensive line, et cetera? Like, what do you guys feel on it?
I think you're right on with both of those, Corey. Like, I think Buster Faulkner is going to build this offense and attack defenses with that in mind. I think you're going to see a lot of quick passes, screens, east-west stuff to help them set up deep shots, which is what we saw on Saturday. But also, yeah, like if that offensive line is having struggle, like they're not going to be doing a lot of seven-step drops. And like, and you want to also have your quarterback have some mobility. They both got it. Obviously, Jones is the better athlete. Definitely had Philo take off for a touchdown run in the second scrimmage, though. Like, he's got better wheels than I thought. But honestly, I think some of his ability to move and run is because he knows the offense and his decisiveness. Like, he's not fast.
Faster than you think.
Faster than you think. Faster than you think. I mean, his touchdown run that he had in the second scrimmage, I was like, okay.
Hey, coach's son, gym rat. So,
but
he like, fast.
First one to show up, last one to leave.
But if we're being honest, like, yeah, Tramiel is – he's the better athlete. He's got the better arm. I think that's evident to most people, and that's one of the advantages that he has. And that's something that if the offensive line doesn't shore up, that's something that could be advantage Tramiel.
Yeah, for sure. And I also feel like, too, right, just knowing the right – I don't know how they run things offensively, whether it's they get into certain checks for certain looks or – whatever the case may be, but I think it'll definitely be important for obviously Philo has this advantage where he knows the offense. So where he knows where his hots are, he knows if he needs to give a play to basically max protect or whatever the case may be. I think that's his upper hand right now. Hopefully Mel will be able to get up to speed in that regard, but I'm sure on the fly it's going to look different, right? Because the coach can give you all the stuff that they want and say, hey, coach, when you see this look and you see an overhang over here, you want to get into this, check to throw maybe a quick bubble screen or something, but until it come out there and then they in something that you ain't never even go over before, I think that's where Aaron will kind of step up to where he would be better for that situation, to where he'll be like, okay, coach didn't go over this, but I remember last year when we had this same situation versus what, and I made the right call for that versus Tramiel may not know what to do in that situation because he just doesn't know the offense, right? He may just
– and he's inexperienced.
Yeah, he's very young. Like, he's still very raw, like, in a lot of ways. And I was arguing with this with my brother. My brother's a huge Florida State fan, and he's waiting for us to.
Gross.
Oh, that's fortunate. Yeah,
very gross. Very gross. But
ask him if his team needs a bank loan.
Oh, trust me. He's he's praying that we start
Aaron Philo. That V on here talking greasy.
He's like, listen, I just want y'all to start Aaron Philo so bad so we can just get Tramiel next year. That's all I really want. I'm like, that's not gonna happen. So just stop. Yeah, even
nobody's getting to sign up for Florida State like that, man.
For real,
Tramiel would never.
Right,
got out of that situation.
It's funny. We did content where we were having these guys sign stuff, and we were sneaking in pictures from recruiting visits. And there was, if you search Tramiel Jones before last football season, the Google picture that popped up was of him in a Florida State uniform. And he didn't love the surprise. I thought he might, but he didn't love the surprise. Hey, will you sign this? And we've gotten it off Google. It's at least not the first thing that pops up when you put in his name. You also mentioned the tight end, Zach. I get asked a lot about why I'm not talking about the tight end room. And I think I basically said, like, listen, they are going to be asked to block. And they're going to catch some check down passes. And the tight end room kind of is what it is. We mentioned before you were on, there is no spring portal. So, like, this is the team. The team you have now is the team you'll have in September when FAU comes to town. Anything else you would like to add to the tight end room before we move to defense?
I mean, I kind of felt – I'll be honest, I did not know this, but I just kind of felt going into it, like Luke Harpering being from Georgia Tech, being in the system, Buster's bringing him over. Like I'm thinking that that's a guy that they're going to count on. And it looks like of all the transfers that they brought in, he's emerged as the leader of the pack with Amir Jackson. I did not realize that his dad was an NBA baller and played as many years in the league as he did. And like finding out that pedigree about him, seeing some of the plays that he made this spring, like I definitely think that Harpring's a good addition to that room. And that's, you're probably looking at your top two tight ends right there. I mean, Amir Jackson just looks like a million bucks. And he made some plays in the spring game. He's still just developing and learning how to play that position. But, like, from a talent standpoint, he's got the most in that room. And it's, cream rises to the top. And so I wasn't surprised when Buster said that those are the two guys that have separated themselves from the pack.
So what happened to Pudgy?
Got hurt, man.
Has he got hurt? Has he got hurt? And listen, I think we still need to have a very not a hard conversation. The conversation can tough. Just be the conversation. You don't even have to say words. You can just print out, hey, here's what the top 10 offensive tackles in the NFL make. Here's what the top 10.
I'm sure the whole country already did that, Nick.
Make, and here you go. Which one would you?
Pudgy want to score touchdowns, man. He ain't trying to block.
He's trying to run routes.
Come on, I like him out there running routes.
You're trying to run routes at like 340, and you end up with your foot in a boot, and you miss the last half of spring.
You can't put O-line highlights on Instagram and TikTok, bro.
Come on, he trying to live it up while he can, man.
Yeah, bro, man. You got
listen.
Let him live his dream, Nick.
Rick Ross has a fire Instagram account, and he doesn't exactly have a tight end body. You can still live your best life.
Steelers doing it, the Georgia tight end.
You can still live your best life on Instagram as an OT.
No.
Yeah, don't slap the same like you're scoring touchdowns, Nick.
Listen, we part of the conversation is also, listen, you watch the Lions offense and now the Bears. We will have some tackle eligible passes, buddy.
Okay,
we will sneak you. You can keep the number 86. Keep the number 80. You can be our left tackle in 2029 wearing 86. That's fine. Wear whatever. 88. What do you want?
I say D tackle, man. You still celebrate getting the sack, bro. Like, you got to get him in a opportunity to celebrate. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants the limelight.
That's all he's looking for.
That's all he's looking for, bro. Guys, put him at detail. Tackle is tough, too. Offensive tackle is not an easy position to convert.
You're about to sign him up for one of the hardest jobs in football, at least top three.
For sure.
In my opinion, he's not playing this year, no matter what position he's at.
That's in everybody's
opinion.
No
matter what position he's at. So he's not. He's not playing this year.
I think
he'd rather say, hey, take the year to develop.
Yeah. Yeah,
take the year to develop an offensive tackle. We'll see.
Pudgy, if you listen to this, man, I still got faith that you can get it going out there tight end, dog. Oh, take this year, put that shirt on, hold it down, brother, and you're going to be all right.
Mm-mm-mm.
I love it.
We'll see. How are you feeling about the secondary, man?
Man, I don't know who I don't know who cornerback two is going to be.
Who's cornerback one? Ben Hanks?
I know. Quarterback one is Dijon.
Yeah?
I believe. Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think so either.
Nick says he doesn't think so. I mean, I'm just going off of what I've, like, if we're just going off of what's been played out on the field, like, Dijon has been the most productive, consistent, and he started the most, and he's graded out well. Like, so I'm looking at him as the leader of that cornerback room, but all four of those guys are going to play. But like that first series, it was Dijon and Ben Hanks. Then Dijon came out and Javari Flowers was playing with Ben Hanks. And then there was another several series with Cormani with the starters. So like they're rolling those guys.
Ben Hanks. Sound like Ben Hanks is CB1, man. No.
Oh, 12, in my opinion, former Division III baseball player opinion, Ben Hanks had the best camp of any of the cornerbacks.
That's what John Summerall said.
Still makes him – D3 football player, Nose ball, Jordan. Know what I'm watching. Ben Hanks had a great camp. I think it's 25-12. Dijon, I agree.
But you got to remember, Dijon was coming off of injury, though.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, started camp, you know, in the pit, too. Like, he missed the first four practices completely and before coming back in. But the one thing is that there's not enough bodies there. Like, there's no.
That's my main concern. I'm like, y'all talking about QB1 and all. I mean, cornerback one and all this. Shit, I'm blessed to see that we even got bodies out there, okay? We one injury away from converting a receiver to DB, you hear me?
Yeah. I mean, they got numbers at corner, but they don't got a lot of proven players.
That's what I'm
saying. Got a lot of youth.
I think we'll almost be better off having one of them receivers run backwards before we pull one.
I like Onis, though. I like Onis.
Athletes, now.
The last two scrimmages, including the spring game, Onis looked good.
Okay.
Number three.
I heard Onis had a solid.
It always comes with some sleepers, man. That's one thing I'll say about Florida is that, like, even last year, like, when I don't know if y'all knew about 43 from the dude, the transfer from Baylor, but Greg was a baller last year when he came out and played. That was a sleeper in my eyes when he was popping out up. I'm like, where the hell he been at? Why he ain't been on the field?
Who is your starting two safeties right now? Is it Thornton and who?
Thornton and Coleman.
Thornton and Coleman. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it would be Thornton and Dooley because Dooley, you know, played in Brad White's system. Yeah, played for Chris Collins, but, like, that's not the way it played out this spring. And it even looks like Coleman might be playing strong safety, and they got Bryce at free safety. So that's interesting. Kanye Clark has seemingly, like, locked down the nickel job. It's like not even a discussion about that anymore.
Yeah, I was talking about it, and I got to get Ben Elsner to come on the show or one of the coaches to kind of explain it. They kind of are treating nickel as like they have three safeties, and then based on what the offensive personnel is, they'll rotate it. Like, you're not going to ask Kanye Clark to cover Luke Harpring. You would slide him back, and you'd have DJ Coleman come down. So they're kind of treating it like that. But yeah, I would say Kanye Clark is locked down that third safety nickel. I think Bryce Thornton's locked down a spot, and then you've got, you know, another spot open. It's Lagonzo was starter for a while. You know, they're kind of just trying to find that fourth guy, really, I think. Because those three with Coleman, Kanye, and Bryce are kind of like three who, you know, are going to play a ton of snaps in the fall.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're in a good place at corner, at least at the top of the depth chart. Like, if those guys stay healthy and you can roll those four in there, like, you're cooking. I like the defense, man. I love the linebackers. I'm like Summerall. I feel better about the defensive line after watching them this spring. And, you know, if you can just have that secondary play with consistency and keep those guys healthy, you're going to be good on defense. I like Brian White's system too.
Yeah, the defensive line, I think, obviously you lose some guys, but you keep Jaden Woods. I think the biggest thing for me is seeing – how good Jeremiah McLeod has looked.
Yeah.
Brandon Bett is really stepping into a leadership role. And, like, I saw him literally get into – they were getting all, the entire – Gerald Chapman was in his bag doing his normal, if somebody's finger moved a little bit wrong, from the top, start the drill over again. And you do that about 5, 6, 7, 8 times to a defensive line, and one guy is the guy that's causing it. You've got a lot of large mammals getting angry at one person. Tempers start to flare. I watched Brendan Bett literally get into like a fist fight at practice. Not that he went out when he started, but then brings the player over after and is talking to him. And like they squash it right there before you even go to the next drill. Bett's been super vocal throughout spring. So I think watching him step into that leadership role, you still have Jamari Lyons. You've got Emmanuel, and then you mentioned you've got those three.
LJ McCray, he's like your starting defensive end.
LJ McCray,
I mean, he's LJ, right now he's ahead of Cameron James and Emmanuel.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think E-Man can slide down and play a little three as well.
Did you say LJ's ahead of Cam James?
Yeah, I think Cam, right? Yeah, I think Cam started this. Well, he had the shoulder surgery.
Yeah, he was non-contact
for the season. He was non-contact for a bit, but LJ, from talking with him, like, he's just pissed off, not at anybody, just pissed off the way that he has not been able to play because of one thing or another. So he's ready to play.
And then he, I think the first scrimmage, Nick, you were there. He really balled out in that first scrimmage, from what I was told. So that's that's a good thing for Florida. If you're five-star, you know, redshirt sophomore defensive end is beating out two seniors, that weren't cheap. Like, you know, Emmanuel's a big time transfer and Cameron James is a big time recruit. And if LJ's beating both of those guys out, that's a good place to be in.
How y'all feel about Emmanuel though, for real, watching the spring game?
Yeah, for real.
I mean, he's raw.
Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to hear. I feel the same way.
He's raw. And when I put out my depth chart before the game, I had it as LJ McCray or Cameron James, and then I had Emmanuel as, you know, their backup. And a lot of fans were like, why the hell would we spend all this money on this guy to bring him in if he's going to be behind these two guys? And just, I mean, he's
just a risk. I mean, what else you was going to get?
Well, and also, like, I mean, the guy's not played a lot of – he's only played football for a few years.
That's so what I was about to say, you can tell.
Like, it's not a knock on him that if he's not beating out LJ McCray. I mean, LJ McCray and Cameron James were dudes coming out of high school. Like, they were – I mean, obviously, LJ was a top 100 – top 10 recruit, but Cameron was top 100, had Georgia after him. Like, he's a big deal. So, like, I didn't expect Emmanuel to just come in and easily – start over those guys, and he's got his work cut out for him. But as Nick said, he's got position flexibility, so they can move him around and find ways to get him on the field.
I think he's definitely
Go ahead, bro.
I'm about to say, you look at him and you see he's just a specimen, and you think he can go out there and just do it all just because he looks like a freak athlete. But like you said, just the rep count isn't there. The guys that have beat him out, I've been getting reps for years. They've seen all. Yeah.
They've been playing since Little League.
Like I said, they've seen all sorts of sets from offensive line. Like me and my boy, once I got on the sideline, I started evaluating him more. And I'm like, I just feel like he's just, like you said, raw. Like he's just lining up, running off the ball, and seeing what happens. He has no like pre-plan of like what
instincts,
what I'm going to do, pass or run. He's just boom, straight up the field. And like, he's raw.
He's gonna get off the bus first, man.
See ball now. He's gonna take him a little time, but I was not. I don't know what we paid him, but I wasn't impressed. I'll say
that's what that's where the issue lies at, right there, right? I think I'm not mad at his addition. I'm not even mad at the Eric Singleton addition. But if our offensive line goes and struggle, it's gonna where we allotted money could be a thing, right? I know Jordan Seaton and some of those offensive linemen that were in the portal were expensive, but if the guy is edge three and he's behind, or whatever the position that is, defensive end three, he's behind two guys that we already got a good paycheck for. I don't know if it was money well spent. Same thing with getting Singleton late. I like his talent. He's a very good guy, but considering what that wide receiver room is just stacked to the ceiling with a lot of talent, it could have probably been better spent maybe in the offensive trenches or even maybe getting a difference maker at quarterback. Who knows? But you could have some very expensive guys that even transfer offensive lineman from
Penn State. I'm not going to say they shouldn't have added Singleton. I like that pick. I think
both should have been
added. But I'm with you on Emmanuel. Like if you potentially didn't spend what you spent on him to have an extra source of funds to go get Seaton, That would have been more beneficial. Now, I can't remember. Did like Florida already jump on and get Emmanuel before Seton hit the portal and was like an option? Because that
I don't remember the timeline of it all. But I'm not too. Let me say this. I'm not too mad at the Emmanuel thing because, but we know how football is, man. One or two injuries, you're going to be hoping and wishing we had somebody behind the next dude to play. You know?
Also, Florida didn't necessarily know that LJ was going to make the move that he has this offseason. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was only protecting himself in that time. So I'm not mad at it. I'm just more of thinking like, I just felt like I was expecting more. Just, you know, that
comes I tell you what, though. I think Summerall feels exactly like Silk, which is I wish I had Jordan Seaton.
Come on. You know
that. like sure. They were in the mix for him. Like, he 100% was trying to come and visit, and Florida just couldn't pay what his price tag was. So, like, that kind of sucks to swallow, because I think that they could have got him if they had the money and the funds. But he was super expensive. Like, yeah, super expensive. Florida was well, like,
it might be worth he might be. You think about what a left tackle is. Like, we're trying to find one right now at a premier position. If you got that position kind of figured out and your guards, like, your line's kind of set going into the fall a little bit. You're just trying to maybe this competition here or there. But if you got a Jordan Seaton, even though I love Eric Singleton and what he brings to the table, if you got a dink and dunk offense or even a quarterback that you don't think is a game breaker, but you got a bunch of game breaker receivers, like, do it match. I just watched us do this last time, right? So we spent a lot of money in the receiver room, and everywhere else, it didn't add up. In the offensive line, it didn't add up. But our receiver room was very expensive with the last regime. So just trying to learn from previous mistakes is, like, I don't mind even spending a lot of money at receiver, but make it match at two of the most.
You got to invest in the offensive line.
Offensive line. Quarterback two important positions.
Yeah.
So relay that message for us, Nick.
My hopes is that we go to play LSU this year, and our D-line is making him look like he wasn't even worth the money, in my opinion. That can easily happen. Let's not get it
twisted. Wait, do we not play? We don't play LSU this year.
Oh, we don't?
Mm-mm.
Damn, that's a sad story.
Well, I will say, though, I am encouraged by Summerall, Trotwine, and Dave Caldwell and that whole front office, that they tried to get in the mix with Jordan Seaton bad. And then they also went out and got Max Hiller. Like, they are clearly being aggressive on the offensive line, and they're willing to spend.
I like that. I like the Hiller.
I feel like low key, not to say we got to get this man a long leash, but he's earned himself a little bit of a longer leash with me. I'm not expecting a big breakout playoff season this year, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at it in the long run. You just recruited well. You grabbed a five-star offensive lineman. We in a mix with a five-star defensive lineman right now. We just had a four-star quarterback commit, I believe. Like, we're moving in the right direction. So I think Leach is getting a little bit looser as he begins to build in these recruits. You got to think about it. He's getting guys, and he ain't won a game yet. Not to say it's hard to recruit at Florida. It's obviously not. Everybody wants to come to Florida. They know about the tradition and all that. But, I mean, you gotta tip your hat off when you see him going out there and getting these guys. He's doing something right. So his leash definitely getting a lot looser with me. I wouldn't be mad if we went bowling this year and won six games and went to a little shitty bowl game. I'll be happy. I don't care. just being happy, especially what we dealt with last year, you know, just watching how much talent we had on the roster to literally – had a feet up at the end of the season. We ain't even sniffing a bowl game, you know what I'm saying? So I think for me, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I kind of got a loose leash for coach right now. And as he continues to build these recruits and build our recruiting class, I think the leash going to keep getting longer and longer for me. I don't know how y'all feel about it.
Yeah, I love the aggressiveness. They're not slow playing guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think just watching how Phil worked. Like, and there's one thing in the portal, and you're on the gun of trying to close a class with the offensive line, transfer portal class. Like, you're going to get taxed a little bit differently. Phil's track record and reputation on the recruiting trail, I think we don't have to, like, overpay for some of these linemen. Like, the suck tax, you pay that when you stink, but you also don't have to pay that when you got an offensive line coach that's just putting out, you know, first rounders, all pros, all conference guys. Like, when you got a developer like Phil, we'll be able to get some of these Hillers, and the offensive line will get where it need to be. So I'm going to give Trotwine a lot of grace this first year, bro. Like, he ain't grocery shop for that room like that. But well, I got
not only that, you had Rob Sale was shopping for your groceries.
Right. That's worse than these Insta shoppers, man. They ain't looking at the bananas and they just grabbing whatever is that. They don't care, bro. They ain't looking at the oranges and make sure they got no spots on it. They just like, all right, bro, they ain't my grocery.
And I've said this on a few different shows, but like I'll say here, there was definitely an attitude or a stance from not just Rob Sale, but John Hevesy as well, that we're not spending millions of dollars on a 17-year-old high school offensive lineman. And there was a lot of that opinion that was held. And maybe in some situations, their eval was correct and it wasn't worth the investment because it is a developmental position. But what's the alternative? If you're not going to get them elite out of high school, you're going to get them elite out of the portal. They're way more expensive as transfers than they are as recruits. So you're better off, as much as you might hate to stomach to spend that much money at a developmental position on a high school kid, it's better to do it out of high school than out of the portal, in my opinion.
Bro, I think we're done getting the number one offensive lineman from a country when the country isn't our own country. I think those times, the international offensive line, the IOL, normally you think that's interior offensive line. It was John Hevesy and Rob Sales, international offensive line. I think we're done with those days. Had me over here having to come up with corny jokes to make up for it.
I don't think either the Beatles that working out, man.
Onus. Jason Zandamella. I think he and Emeka is English from Manchester. Not Emeka, sorry. Right. Emmanuel. So still some internationals on the team. Onus, a little over-the-shoulder catch, a little over-shoulder pick on an overthrown ball. But yeah, maybe. Neither of the former past two offensive line coaches will be mistaken for good recruiters. So I think you're right on with giving Phil a little bit of grace in year one.
Maybe all right. Uncle Phil got
us. Shout out to Phil.
Yeah, he got us, bro. I ain't tripping on it. Whatever five he put out there, I think it'll be competent and better than the product that we had the last few years. But I temper my expectations. It's still 8 wins, Jordan. You were saying 6. I still got to say, hey, this team talented, bro. Like, offensive line could, you know, stall us out a little bit and slow us down. But I think it's a very talented roster.
That might be my hot take, though, is I think that there's a good chance that your starting offensive line is – Najee Harris and 4 transfers, which says a lot if that's what happens.
Ouch. I mean, then it worked out.
If transfers
get beat out, then I got more worries. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's true.
If you bring in a bunch of transfers and Rob Sale guy beats out all the transfers, then I'm a little shook then.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm still in a little bit of belief that last year, it wasn't necessarily the players. It was the play calls. So, for me to hear that.
Quarterback, you know, like, DJ was not healthy. He didn't have a regular offseason. Yeah,
he was not healthy on top of the terrible. I mean, I cannot imagine any quarterback being in a situation where the defense probably knows what's coming and you expect him to pick you apart. Like, come on. We're playing big boy football, bro. That ain't going to go down. This ain't little league. This ain't high school. You can't just get a ball to your best player and something magical is going to happen.
Not unless he wears number 25 and that nameplate says Scarlet.
I mean, if you got me in the building, that's a different story. For real though, bro, I felt so bad just watching us last year, bro. Even when like we got to the Miami game and like I know Kevin Beer personally, like I was my coach in high school at University School. He literally told me like, y'all so predictable. We know exactly what y'all got going on. Like
DBD said that at USF. Like all those coaches was just saying that. Like we know
the Miami coaches said that.
Yeah. Like you feel me? So I had no like any what's of us doing good because everybody knows what we're doing. We probably coming. It's like a dude playing Madden and he only got 4 plays in his bag. And you see the formation and you know what it is. Like you're not going to beat me, dude.
And then the guy you playing in Madden, like, he got one play that working, he won't even stick with it.
Exactly. Doing everything else but that. You feel me? So that's how I felt about it. So I think I was giving the players that were on the roster last year a little bit of grace in that. Like, y'all probably do have potential. It's just that you have to be put in a better scheme because sometimes, man, you got
one. They were clearly talented. Like, they were in a lot of those
in every game, man.
Fourth quarter.
Like, he was right hanging in games with 30 yards. I never forget, bro. I'm watching LSU game. We going into half with 34 yards of total offense, bro. And we only down by 10 points. I'm like, we have a problem. Like, there's no reason we should still feel like we're in the game after going a whole half of football with only 30 yards. You can get 30 yards in one play. How the hell we go?
I mean, they had a chance to win that game in a game where DJ threw five picks.
Thank you. Still could have won the game. Like, we are low-key talented. Like, that's why I feel like even the players that were on the bench last year had to have some talent left to them. Like, I wasn't fully sold on that. We was going ham in the transfer portal. I felt like we should have worked more on retaining guys versus transfer portal. But we here now.
I also feel like with the guys that they lost from last year's team, they didn't lose too much talent.
Like, I agree.
There's definitely some guys that they would have liked to keep, but not a lot.
No, I agree. Like, we definitely kept all the important pieces, in my opinion.
I would have liked to keep Burrow just because of
that's the one
what our roster looks like.
100%.
Yeah.
And they tried. I mean, I was told that Florida matched what Ole Miss was offering, and he just wanted to change the scenery at that point. So I think, though, between Bet, Kalu, who actually looked pretty good this spring, would you agree, Nick? DJ Kalu, he was a pleasant surprise. DK, excuse me. And then Mbachu, like, they should be okay at nose, but it would have been great to have Burrow.
Yeah, I think they're just a body type difference, right? Like, they're going to play nose, but Burrow's more of a space eater, like the
true nose. Like,
yeah, Cam Jackson. What's the big boy that just left, man? But he fits the body type of guy.
Yeah, Dez, he wasn't that big.
No, he wasn't Dez big, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he was up there.
And
now,
those guys don't grow on trees, man.
Right.
That's the fact.
Yeah, that Makai found that out. There's a big. If you are a big mammal, there's a big market for you in the transfer portal. We're talking about how much Emmanuel got paid. Like, yeah, you're 6'6", 300 pounds. There's a starting number for simply being 6'6", 303.
That's a fact.
Well, Zach, we appreciate you. We got a bunch of highlights. Yeah, I didn't even get to play, but you spent more than 45 minutes here with us, nearly an hour with us. Tell people where to follow you, what you got coming out, what you got going on, where to support.
Yeah, man, at GatorsOnline.com. You can follow me on Twitter, tracking this basketball rebuild, waiting on Nick Del Torre to drop some FV graphics and ready to fire off some drafts and then get to the summer. You know, I only got baseball right now going on, so my life is a little bit easier. And then we're going to get a little PTO in June, boys.
Got to do it, baby. Treat yourself.
Bro, the beach man, calls. The wife is the like,
when are we going on vacation? June.
Right? She's like, what's going on? My feet will be in the sand.
So I'm like, baby, you got to wait till this portal closes.
Babe, we can't. Until the basketball graphics are done, we can't go.
Can't say it like John, man.
I ain't mad at you, man. Keep grinding.
All right, Zach. Man. We appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
All right, man.
All right. That's not what we needed. God dang. Forget how much we need Dan here to move people around.
Dan, man.
All right. Zach was on for a while. Let's go back to two of these reads. Let's start with home field. The promo code Stadium and Gale save you 20% off. Free shipping. Homefield has some of the best, softest, throwback, vintage looks you can get. Not the current national champion in basketball, but they've got some dope national championship gear. You can also get the baseball pullover that I'm not wearing, but I have. Love it. Again, that's Homefield Apparel. The code is Stadium and Gale. Save you 20% off and free shipping. Now the one that we all have. Game Time Sidekicks. Help support Tyler and his crew living up in Knoxville in enemy territory with the best cups to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Great designs as well. I take mine everywhere I go. Always drink out of them. That is, what's our code there, boys? Stadium 15 for 15% off. It's scrolling under you if you're watching here on YouTube.
For sure.
Bro, oof, my daughter had bronchitis, and I think I'm coming down with something.
Oh, man. No.
Let me run through some of these, though, Corey. You wanted to put this? Let me put this up. We got some of the scrimmage. In case you guys didn't get to see it live, this is we're watching here a little bit on YouTube.
Was that fire? Just caught that? I don't know.
No. This is the first team offense.
These plays right here, like those first few, like you start those from the beginning. Like those are all – I know people giving them credit for getting the ball out quick. I mean, that's what these plays are designed to do.
And that's a no read.
That's a no read. The first two or three, these are no reads. These are just swing passes, getting out to the flats, design plays. So
that's just numbers game right there. If it's this many in the box, hand it off.
That's it. Long handoffs. They got stuff on that fourth and one. I didn't like that. You know, you want to see offensive line try to get that. But flowers to the defense, but I want to see my offensive line get a yard right there. Trying to get into the red zone, but those quick little throws are plays that both quarterbacks can get off. And it's just going to be things to get your quarterback going, get them comfortable. And just the run blocking, bro, is just not what I thought it should be at.
No, we've seen a lot of that throughout the spring, is that the defensive line, the ones winning, but then the twos dominating the twos, the two defensive line dominating the two O line, and the two defensive line winning a lot against the one O line. And it just kind of feels got his work cut out for him. I think John said it in his post game after the spring game, like, would love a portal, would love a spring portal to go out and get some dudes. But this is what your roster is going to be.
In my opinion, man, just from like seeing it myself, I've been in a situation to where shit, I used to be in team running thinking my O-line was trash. It's just the
reason. Well, they might have been.
I'm just saying, but then we'll go to the game and we're moving the ball a little bit in the run game, not necessarily the pass. But I think oftentimes, man, these D-linemen know their moves. They know what they don't like, and they use that to their advantage. They've been going against these guys for, what, the past, what, 3 weeks now?
Six weeks, something like that.
Right, so they've been going against each other for a while. They know what they don't like, and let's be honest, man, it's almost like receiver DB one-on-one drills when it comes to just like blocking in general, where blocking is very hard. You got to stay in front of somebody, not hold them, and still be able to block them at the same time. Like, and he's probably stronger than you and faster than you. Like,
certainly faster.
Exactly. So I give them a little bit of, you know, grace when it comes to just evaluating them being able to, you know, run off the ball and block. But also, you got a defensive coordinator over there has been going against his offensive coordinator. Obviously, it's probably all scripted to a certain extent in the spring game. But I think with the offensive coordinator we got, once we do roll into the real season, I think defenses and defensive lines will be a little bit scared of what's coming to them, that they may be a little hesitant. They may have not such a good get off as our D-line had it. Our D-line is comfortable because they know what they're getting. They know what it is, and I feel like they can dominate that. Even at the rate that, you know, it's like a no-blitz type of day, like, they're probably just working their run game, working all this stuff, because I know I can't go back there and sack the quarterback. I can't hit my quarterback. So I'm primarily just focusing on working this certain thing today. So it's kind of hard to evaluate the overall O-line on how they perform because just the different circumstances. But I do think that we can go into a game and play a team like a Texas or an Ole Miss and be able to move the ball running wise. I mean, we know what 13 gonna do. He can make at least two guys miss. You feel me? Like, I ain't saying I want that every play, but I'm just more saying I think we'll be all right and that we'll be able to get some movement on the ball with a lot of the pre-shifts and motions that we do. And I think Buster will be able to get us into some situations where we're winning the numbers game. I could see a lot of our plays are numbers game based, or even the first two, three plays, it was just like an RPO version. If it's 3-over-3 outside, hand it off. If it's 2-over-3, throw the rock. We're not going to overcomplicate this. We're going where it's less guys, and I like our guys to beat their less guys. And, I mean, when we operate on the offense like that, I think we'll be able to make some big plays this year. Was that BB3?
You're muted, Nick.
Yeah, sorry. The play we were talking about earlier about the pass to BB3, so it's Philo. Set up with a run play ahead. DB3 breaks in. Yeah, that's behind.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good. It was a bad ball for sure. I watched it
behind, yeah.
And I was like, maybe he could have caught it, but that wasn't the best ball you could have gave me. And it's not like you're about getting pressured. You just threw that up.
Yeah, that's like tough coach. Like, hey, if it hits your hands, you catch it. But like ball is not put where it's supposed to be at all. And like that's in – If I rewind back to it, like that's
could have been a great throw. It could have been a very great catch. It could have been a great catch, but you know,
yeah, it would have been a great catch.
It's a bad throw.
VB3 is here, and you're breaking into a field. Like there's nobody there. That window is
massive. That ball. I know that dude coming in his face right now. Pause. But
I don't know,
you're not getting hit in this instance, and that's the ball you deliver.
I don't think a pause. I'll save you on that one, bro. That was crazy.
Wow, wild. But
for real, though, you see the dude at the middle of the hat.
Yeah. Now you got to put it on his chest. There, pause, man.
You've got this one defender here. He's covered. The cornerback or the safety here is coming down, but he's 5 yards, 6 yards away.
Yeah, hit him breaking.
Linebackers like, in no man's land. Like that ball's
he's
out.
Breaking here. That ball got to be on him. You can't even be throwing it like right.
Yeah,
now.
He's throwing it right now. Already. You see his arm is back. He's throwing it right now, but that ball should be out already.
Correct.
And then you're throwing
you
it.
You can't go late across the middle, late, high, behind you. All of that's recipe for emergency room visit. Be honest.
And it was look. There's still nobody within three yards of VB3 there after the ball is tipped in his hands. Oops. Scoot. Hit him back.
I think both interceptions was egregious. The sack when I think Tramiel self sacked himself, that was egregious. And outside of that, I just think
you were figuring out your camera. You were figuring out your camera too when I said it. Their defense didn't blitz. Their defense was not allowed to blitz. So some of the stuff you're doing too, that means either there's pressure with four, but you're not getting any kind of exotic defenses or fronts that lead to blitzes that are gonna.
He got to hit that right there. Like go back to that.
That was a like, little. That was at the top of the screen. It was getting a little grabby right around the 50, a 45.
Yeah, so you have a little bit of pressure coming off the edge here. Right there. So you get a little bit of pressure, but like that's we got a little bit
ball
of
ball should be
there.
Out right here.
Yep.
It should be already out. They even. Boom. It should be gone. No, he's
even
throwing
the ball's just leaving his hand there. Yeah.
That might be a sack.
No, it don't might. It don't might.
Yeah, they definitely getting on the offensive line's edge really quick. You see a lot of beating them boys like and just letting up. But like, not to say it's always been like that, fellas, but sad to say it's always been like that, especially at
right, look at the center on that last play right there. Playing that back, bro. Has
always been
he's getting, you better bro, know. He's getting smacked.
Maybe take like, back to the Pouncey days, probably close to even.
Right, look at the center driven back until the quarterback. Who is that right now, dog? That's giving me anxiety. Oh my goodness.
50. Yeah, that was 50 in there.
Nah, it's not the prettiest. I can guarantee
it. And that was Zandamella, and that's 93, so that is DK Kalu.
Oh, brother.
And 93, 95, Kalu and Lyons there.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I've seen this time and time at the end. Y'all seen even CeCe hop on the pod and say, I used to get the best of Fred. Meanwhile, Fred is Super Bowl winner, year 7 in the league, like, he was never bad. At that time, CC was just better. Like, it's just no way around it. Like,
yeah, I would just think, man, I know neither one of these guys is just like has a boatload of experience, but I thought Philo would be more polished in that area. Like, some of the things being an older guy in this same offense, just certain aspects of it, I thought he would be. It's clear that he knows the offense more. They're doing more things with him, like even some of the design plays just to get, you know, him going and stuff. It's like a lot of chemistry there. Don't seem like they're calling the same style of plays with both of those guys either. Like some of the motions and the getting out into the flats, I didn't see any of that with Tramiel. So it looked like it may be a little different offense being called there. Now, this play right here I like, right? Watch this. There's two people he could go to right there. I don't know if you see that, but rewind that play.
Yeah,
I love that design.
Yeah, because this is the motion that in the previous offense, you're throwing it to the guy that was in motion every time.
Which they still had, honestly, because that
– Yeah, here we go.
Like, what's 8 yards
off? So you've got – if you're only listening, this is 21, so that's Evan Pryor in motion. You've got – three stacked up top. I'm guessing that's three receivers.
I would go to the receiver there. Like, watch the receiver flare out.
The receiver. So the receiver stayed inside the.
Well, the running back. I would go there. Yeah, I would go to running back there. He went to the receiver. Boom. Yeah. I would have hit the running back.
This defender here, if you're watching the one that I'm circling, he did a good job of staying even here, which probably dictates the throw because he's in a position to cover and block inside. He's not in a position. If they went outside, he's not in a position to block him. And then you've got, but then you're still, to your point, still, you're like, it's one-on-one there. Make a guy miss with the safety coming down.
Well, I love that. I love that design. But a lot of that action you're seeing with follow, we go to the Tremel clip of that motion and that movement. I'm not seeing with, and that's just crazy.
That's just a great ball there.
I felt like that had to be somewhat of like a either busted coverage or a lower effort on defense because that was terrible.
Rewind it. It don't even look like a busted coverage. Like the receiver just beat him off the line. Busted coverage. Like did he get caught looking in the backfield? Or anything like that?
What is that? Three deep, four under. So cover
three. Like with a double move.
Yeah, that looks like cover three. So
double move. You slant and go.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he did.
Flat footed. Yeah, you muted move. Nick if you're talking. Yeah, it was a double.
Yeah, he just took a step in there. That little bite in, like it was gonna be that's a little far for a slant, but like an in or a post or something. He ate.
That ain't no busted coverage. Yeah, he got busted.
Yeah, he probably got the coverage wasn't busted. This guy right here, I don't know what number it is. He got caught either looking. There's nothing to look in. There was no play action on that.
But you gotta think
of that slant.
They've been going east and west. How many play? Obviously, this is early in the game, but just like thinking of how they play football now. They go.
Yeah, he's playing in the box. He's biting up.
Slant, bubble, motion, quick throw. That man's trying to bite on anything under 5 yards.
He's trying to climb the depth chart, Nick. He's trying to make a play, boy. Like, I'm probably third on the depth chart. Let me try to jump this slant real quick, this post. Post and go. Now I'm calling the blender.
Like, that was good protection.
That was a good throw.
That was a good ball. Yeah, he had a good pull.
He had a nice little pocket to step into. I don't know what O-line, D-line this is, whether it's ones, twos, threes, whatever. But
that looks like Caden Jones at right tackle. Is it? Yeah. 55. TJ
only rushing three,
mm-hmm.
which is a plus for us. But
that's a busted coverage. Look at these two corners. Look at these two DBs at the bottom of the screen. What are they doing?
Yes, fucking dick in hand.
That's a busted coverage.
Well, I can't tell if that's eight or I can't tell if that's eight or zero, but that might either way, that's a linebacker or a jack.
Rewind that play. Like watch both of them guys.
Oh, palms almost. Let's see.
Cover four? If that's cover four, they both need to get on the bench.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it's cover two.
Yeah, I can't tell what number that is, but that looks like a linebacker. Now,
he's on the sideline. Like that corner is all the way on the sideline. I don't know what he's doing. Yes.
A little too far out.
Yeah, what I don't know what he's doing. Like, what is he doing?
I think that's Jaden Woods. I think that's zero. I don't know why he'd be out there.
Jaden Woods way back there? No way.
Like, what's that number? That's either an eight or a zero.
That ain't Jaden Woods.
I'm zooming in right now. What is he doing on the edge of the defense?
Bro, what?
Yeah, that's zero, isn't it?
It is. It's either zero or eight, and I don't know who number eight is on defense, but that looks like zero to me. Zero and 16.
Yeah, that's zero. That's zero.
What is he doing out there?
Those are two jacks out there.
You got me rushing three dudes, and you just sitting on the
best pass rusher in coverage way back playing corners. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Think we're just doing a favor to the offense here.
Yeah, maybe.
Uncovered hey, it's been a bit since we.
Hey, Zay, try some corner, man. You're doing a great job at edge. Let's see if you can play some corner, man.
Telling Jane, like, hey, I know you think you can only be so wide playing Jack, but what if we put your heels on the sideline?
On the literal tick marks of that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was a play. Might have been some charity given out there. Here's 14 on the edge coming in.
That's another good ball, too. Good protection.
I wouldn't mind if he let him a little bit more, but I know that's like tricky cover, too. You trying to possibly drop it in right there.
Great catch by TJ Abrams there, too. To adjust to the throw, body control in the air.
Now, TJ had a good camp, too, from what I heard.
He getting tried.
Oh, a little 9-5-4 there.
I would like to see some better red zone play calling. I know we're in the spring game. We're not gonna be
they don't want to show too much.
Yeah.
But it's a good pro right here. He could have stepped up in the pocket, baby, but he made
it. My guy can spin it.
He's been 16. Waiting for this part.
Oh, spinning it.
Move the pocket. Hit your little check down.
I'm cool. And Will Griffin, like, outside of injury, Will Griffin not going to play this year. I think that play right there, I've seen him really throw the ball. And this isn't a super hard throw, but I've seen him really throw the ball on the run well. That's an easy pass there to make, but you are still running.
Yeah, I was about to say, easy for sure. Somebody who know how to throw.
Don't love that. Love getting your hands up, LJ McCray, though.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Nick, I think y'all get home and change the diaper, man.
Yeah, it's my wife. She asked me if the show was over. I didn't respond.
Yeah, she's about to come in there and put you in a yoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom.
Enough of your spring game with your podcast buddies. Now, outside of that, man, we got things to work on, but
yeah, we're
still, I like the talent. I like the explosive plays. Michael Mayes, everything that I didn't have to lie about, and I appreciate him for just, you know, making me look good, man, because I think the kids are special talent. Some of these kids just develop late, man. Michael Mayes is one of those guys out of Palm. He showed a lot of potential, but you could tell, like, coming on late, it was a couple kids in that era that we thought should have had bigger offers, you know, even some big three offers, but they came on late. And a lot of times when you start balling as a senior, it's too late, you know, for like the big time offer. Most of the kids after your junior year is when those start pouring in. So he got to wait for it, show some sparks there. I watched him a little bit towards Florida State when he was playing them, and then, you know, keeping up with him when he entered the portal. And when there was some interest, I knew, I was like, nah, this kid gonna come here and play. But he's living up to it. We'll see. That's just gonna light a flame on the Dallas Wilson. Like, Dallas ain't gonna take that lightly, you know. They two of the bigger guys in the receiver room on the roster, you know, 6'2" or better. So I think Dallas is going to come with his hair on fire as well. The receiver room is loaded. I just want to see us go vertical a little bit more.
It's funny because everyone that I talked to, that's like, Jordan had the same reaction. Everyone I talked to that like sees Dallas in person for the first time is just like, yo, what? Yeah. Yo, he's huge.
Like, he can play edge for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can play a lot of things on the field, honestly. I don't see one position he can't play size wise. Yeah. Oh, lie, man.
and listen, the foot, we might need him. And the foot is, I think, okay, because they and now in the building on the TVs all throughout, like the football building, they just have a screen of like the highest lifts, the fastest guy, the fastest, all the testing times, and it just kind of goes through. Dallas Wilson is a member of the over 20 mile an hour. 20 miles an hour running club,
and he has some dudes up under him too. Now, I saw that too. I was like, okay, we got some speed in that receiver room.
Yeah,
he runs like so violent. I think like he's an aggressive runner, like his feet hit the ground really hard. And that's the thing, like, I wonder if we get him in some ballet classes or something just to make him a little bit more of an agile runner. But
he's on different cleats now, too.
He low-key still raw, though. Like, he's still legit. Like, not saying that he's not super talented. Of course he is. But I just don't even think he's really gotten into his bag yet as far as, like,
being
lighter on his feet, getting into his routes a little quicker. Like, my biggest thing for him is, honestly, I don't want to speak on it too much, but I just want to see the cat get through a full season. I mean, yeah, coming here as a freshman and like you ain't make it through a full season. It's football. Everybody get hurt. Stuff happens. Obviously, we was trying to protect our biggest asset at that time and like just making sure he was gonna be good for the future. But I want to see him get through a full year and then I'll hop on the
you know, Dallas Wilson train for Heisman and all that. But I love the kid. He's super talented. But I want to see him get through a year. I want to see him tough it out because we know how I go, bro. Once you done got injured, you ain't never 100% again. I don't care what you say. Trainers can do everything they want, put all the ultrasound and stem on you they want to. You're never going to be 100 again, brother. How are you going to play?
I don't
want
to hear that, man. Don't tell me that, 25.
It's yeah, the bro. Fact. Like
I'm 37. I think I'm running at like a 71%. I don't
it's
know.
The fact.
I don't know if you can even get back to 72%.
I hurt my ankle in high school. I hurt my ankle in high school. That thing ain't never been 100 since that first injury. I rehabbed it up perfectly.
You some deer antler, bro. You tried deer antler?
I mean, no, I didn't. But maybe hopefully no more get a little piece of shoot. I don't know what to do. But I can tell
who
you
had the deer antler? Was that Barry Bonds with the deer antler? Who's had the deer antler? I forgot.
I think that was Ray Lewis, ain't it?
Ray Lewis with the deer antler?
Yeah.
Shout out to
I don't remember. I remember that being a thing, though.
Yeah, I can't remember who that was, man. I remember trying to go buy something after that, though. It really worked for me, bro.
So it was influenced. Oh, wait. For sure. Deer antler spray. Okay.
For sure. If it worked for them, it got to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who done?
Yeah, well, I got one more ad read because we got the great folks at Alumni Hall. When you want Gator gear, Alumni Hall has your ultimate shopping destination, like apparel brands like Nike, Cutter & Buck, Columbia, Peter Millar, Champion, plus their 2 for 38 tees, women's kids accessories, Yeti, hats, shoes, belts, anything you need. They're right off the highway. Check them out in-store in Gainesville or at alumnihall.com to make sure you are game ready. Alumni Hall, where Gator fans shop. And with that, we will welcome Dan back next week. I think I gotta text my boy John, see when we get John on. As we said in a show previously, we wanted to get Coach Summerall on after spring ball once he was able to talk and make informed comments after seeing the guys for 15 practices. So we'll get Coach Summerall
with old John, man,
next week, or get him on good soon. But he will be here. We got Song of the Week. Who wants Song of the Week?
Are we bringing it back? Dan been dropping the ball on Song
Dan,
of the Week.
Dan's clearly dropping the ball.
The joke of the week. Everybody come up with a dad joke.
I like that. I like the joke of the week. Let's do that.
Joke of the week was the offensive line recruiting for the last 4 years.
Rob Sale. That was the joke of the week.
Rob Sale. Joke of the week.
All right, we're going to start that next week. I like that, Jordan. Next week, joke of the week, we're going to let you kick it off. So you got a whole week to prepare, yeah, man.
I got you. I'll get it right. As corny as possible.
You got to leave it up to three dads. Dan don't have any kids, so he can't do dad joke of the week.
Mm.
Right.
Dan's bye. Still celebrating not a Father's Day.
Hey, that's why you get to go to Mexico this weekend. We don't, man.
That's true.
You got no kids. Shout out to Dan. Safe travels back, man. Hopefully Big T don't cause any rumblings while he's over there.
That's a fact. You don't want to end up like your boy.
Yeah, stranded.
Hey, for him to see you get held hostage and then cancel his trip says a lot about that, man. He just like,
yo, he's a savage. You got to salute him when you can. He's a savage for that. Because a dude like me, I see that happen. I don't need to see much more. I'm done with
Jordan's done with Mexico. Jordan might be done with Cinco de Mayo completely. Right. Jordan's not even celebrating Cinco de Mayo stateside anymore. He's done with Mexico.
I ain't doing nothing involved with them boys. To all my Mexicans that watch Stadium and Get, I love y'all, but I ain't coming back, brother.
There's enough Mexicans in Texas. I'm fine, man. I had a good time out there.
Yeah, all right, boys. Until next week, we're out.
See ya.